If you got your Bibles with you, let's turn to Acts chapter 13. We're going to pick up where we left off a couple of weeks ago. Where we left off a couple of weeks ago is where the Holy Spirit had told the church, hey, I want y'all to send Barnabas and Saul, and I want you to send them on a mission trip. And the reason we do that is just like the introduction said today, the church is a city set on a hill. We are a light that is not to be put under a bushel. We are to guide people to Jesus Christ, born-again children of God that the Holy Spirit resides in. They're looking for something, and we're that something. We have the message of grace, because without us, it's a dark world, and you don't have to do anything other than turn on your TV set to know what kind of dark world we live in. As a matter of fact, on October 7th, when Hamas attacked Israel, you saw the total depravity of man on full display, where terrorists would put babies in ovens. Because we have children in the crowd, I'm not going to get more detailed than that. Do I have to? But it was a lot worse. A lot worse. Total depravity exists right now, and darkness is in this world. And children of God need the light in order not to get hurt. Anybody ever get up in the middle of the night, go to the restroom, go downstairs, get something to eat, and step on a Lego, bash your knee into a coffee table, walking around in darkness, people get hurt. And if you got the light on, then you can avoid a lot of pain in this world. Well, the church is that light, and Jesus, more importantly, is that light. And we're supposed to shed it to other people. So, Barnabas and Saul have been sent. Let's find out where they go. Acts chapter 13, verse 5. Let me get my glasses on. Verse 4. So they being sent by the Holy Ghost, they, Barnabas and Saul, being sent by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And so they were at Antioch, they went 15 miles to the port city of Seleucia, and then they got on a boat, and they went 75 miles to modern Cyprus, which is right below Turkey. That's where they went. No, by the way, do you know who came? Because it's Barnabas and Saul that went. Do you know who came from Cyprus? Barnabas. If you look over in Acts chapter 4, I believe it's Acts chapter 4, verse 36, it says, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, a Levite of the country of Cyprus. So Barnabas is going to his hometown. You know, to be a witness of Jesus Christ, you don't have to go across the world. You can do it in your hometown. That's what Barnabas is doing, going back to his hometown. And when they were at Salamis, that is a port city in the city of country of Cyprus. They preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John, that's John Mark, by the way, to their minister. And so, consistent with the gospel message, the gospel goes first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. The Apostle Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 8, 9, and 10. And that's what they're doing. They're taking the word of God, not their thoughts, not their opinions, not some political agenda, but they're taking the word of God to the synagogues. What happens next? And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, unto Paphos, which is on the other side of the island, Cyprus is 140 miles long and 60 miles wide, not that big of a country, but they made it all the way to the other side, and they go to the city of Paphos. And when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, rut-row, that ought to stop you in your tracks right there, whose name was Bar-Jesus. Why should that stop you in your tracks? Because Jews shouldn't practice sorcery. All right? So let's go back just real quick. You can trust me. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 26. You shall not practice divination or soothsaying. Over in Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 through 12. There shall not be found among you anyone who uses divination, who practices witchcraft, one who interprets omens, a sorcerer, one who casts a spell, a medium, a spiritist, or one who calls upon the dead, a necromancer. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. So we have a Jew who knew better. His surname was Bar-Jesus. That's his Hebrew name. What Bar-Jesus means is the son of Jesus. Jesus is not, they're not talking about Jesus Christ. This is Jesus, a very common name, and actually it's the Greek word of Joshua, which means the Lord saves. It's like the old English, if you were the son of John, you'd be called son of John or John's son. This is Bar Jesus. So here's this guy, son of Jesus, who is a sorcerer, and he is the influencer for the deputy, a dude by the name of Sergius Paulus. He is an advisor. Think of Jafar in Aladdin. He is an advisor to the ruler. A deputy or a proconsul at this time period is someone who's given authority over a particular region. Sergio Paulus is this dude, and the dude that's influencing him is one of the sorcerers. Sergio Paulus had other influencers, but he did have Sergio Paulus. He did have Bar-Jesus influencing him at this time. And I just want to pause real quick and just kind of ask a couple of questions. Number one, who's the influencer in your life? Because this is what we know about Sergio Paulus. Sergio Paulus, who we're going to meet, the Bible says he's going to be a very prudent or intelligent man, and he was desiring to hear about the things from the apostle. This man is a born-again child of God because he had the seed of faith that heard about the gospel and when things were going on, and he wanted to hear more about it. But then you have on the other side a force that is opposing him, a sorcerer, one who practices the dark arts, one who is demonically possessed, and he's trying to interrupt that. Brothers and sisters, a couple of things we want to know about this. Evil exists. And we saw it on October 7th. And we're going to see it again today, and we're going to see it tomorrow. Evil exists, and there are demonic forces in this world. Be on guard. I want to encourage anybody that has a Ouija board in your house to burn it. Get rid of it. It has no business being in the house of a Christian. I want to encourage people to think about their occupations, too. Because this man is a sorcerer. He is a Jew who knew better. Scriptures are unmistakably clear on this point. As a matter of fact, people that practice sorcery and witchcraft were to be put to death. But some way along the way, even though this man means the son of the Lord who saves, even though he claimed the title, he didn't do the part because he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. It is entirely possible for children of God to do things that they shouldn't do. And so here Bar-Jesus is, and he's a sorcerer, and he's using his position to influence a deputy and interfere with his faith. There are some occupations that Christians have no business being in. Christians have no business being strippers. Christians have no business being unethical salespeople. Christians have no business being full-time abortion doctors. There are some professions that Christians have no business doing. One of those businesses is being a sorcerer. Well, here Bar-Jesus is. He's not living up to what his identity and his name says, and he's trying to influence Sergius Paulus. So let's keep on reading. Let's read about Sergius Paulus. So here Sergius Paulus is, and it says, and when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found, oh, by the way, what else does this tell you, too? They had gone through the island, they found a certain sorcerer in the governor proconsul's house. What that also tells you is they didn't always just stick to synagogue, that they actually got up there and mixed it up in the community. You know, because sometimes, and this is within the ministry, but I know even as Christians, sometimes we kind of limit our group, our posse, the people we hang with, to the people of faith. And if we do that, then we're not really going to be a light to the world because we're limiting ourselves to the house of God. And these people got out there and they got in the marketplace. They were interacting with the governor. And here it says, and when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was the deputy, which was with the deputy of the company, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, which means he's super intelligent, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of the Lord. You might want to underline that Barnabas and Saul, because that's the last time you're going to see it listed in that order. We are at a major turning point in the Gentile church. Barnabas and Saul. So Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. That desire came because he had the fruit of the Spirit in him. He had the seed of faith and he wanted to know more. He was a seeker. But Elymaeus the sorcerer, this is Bar-Jesus, now we're going to start calling him by his Greek name. And Elymaeus the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. If you would, mark underline the word turn away. So Elymaeus is opposing what God is planning. Who's going to win on this one? Okay, this is church. The answer's pretty easy. Who's going to win? Elymaeus is going to oppose God. God's going to win. God always wins. God won. So Elymaeus is going to oppose him. But how is he opposing the mission of God? He's opposing the mission of God by seeking to turn away Elymaeus, seeking to turn away Sergius Paulus from the faith. And then Saul, who is called Paul. And from here on out, he will be known as Paul. Then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. I want to pause real quick. Why not Barnabas? Up until this point, it was Barnabas that had been the active in the ministry. Up until this point, it was Barnabas that had been numero uno. It was always Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul. We'll read of that phrase about 10 times. So why didn't the Holy Ghost fill up Barnabas and have Barnabas? Because it was given to the Apostle Paul to take the ministry to the Gentiles. And the other reason is because the Holy Spirit gets to do what the Holy Spirit gets to do and wants to do. It was the Holy Spirit's choice. The Holy Spirit said, okay, now it's time for Paul. And so Paul, being filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, now, Paul is a sensitive man, doesn't want to hurt anybody's feelings, you know, very soft-spoken. O full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? So we underline the word turn away. You may want to underline the word pervert, because those are the exact same word in the Greek language. So how are they? There, a couple of things here. He's saying, oh, child of the devil, you're seeking to pervert the right ways of God. Number one, there exists a right way of the Lord. And the right way of the Lord leads to faith. And so Paul is calling out this man for trying to turn away Sergius Paulus from the faith. And how is Elymaeus, Bar-Jesus, trying to turn him away? By influencing him, because he is known as a false prophet. A Jew, a sorcerer. So what's a false prophet? A false prophet is someone who's claiming to speak for the Lord. And so he's trying to say, and you can imagine it's Sergius Paulus, hey, this is what the Lord wants you to do. And you know, there's any number of people and influences that'll speak to you and try and tell you this is what you ought to do with your life. Be careful about the voices. Be more like the Berean church who would check things out against Scripture, because this is what we've been given. We've been given the Word of God. We don't have to go to mystics. We shouldn't go to astrologers. We definitely don't need Ouija boards or any sort of crystals, because all those things are trying to separate us from the voice of God. And that's what was going on right here. And Paul, and how does Paul address it? He says, oh, full of all subtlety, enemy of all righteousness, will thou not cease to pervert, to change? Another way this has been translated is to make crooked the straight path of the Lord. Because the straight path of the Lord is faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so he says, and now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. And I hope this moment's not lost on you, because it's the same moment that the Apostle Paul experienced on the road to Damascus when he was opposing Jesus Christ. and put to death the saints of God. And he was struck down for a season of blindness, for 3 days of blindness. And so Elimaeus, or Jesus, is being struck down with the same season of blindness. It is not a permanent blindness. But Elimaeus, he's going to physically experience what he is spiritually doing, and that is living a life of blindness, where you get hurt, where you're scared, where you have no hope, where you have no vision. And the Apostle Paul says, you're going to continue down this road, child of the devil? You're going to experience it physically, and he calls upon it. Now, what happens? Because Sergius Paulus is watching this go down, and it says, then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So in addition to physically seeing what happened, some preaching got done. And what was the preaching that was done? Well, it's something that the Apostle Paul talks about a little bit later. And what we know is the simplicity of the gospel. Because here Sergius Paulus is. He's a very prudent, a very intelligent man. And he sends for Barnabas and Saul to instruct him, and they start to instruct him. You know, a lot of times we don't share our witness because we're intimidated by the IQ of the other person. Or maybe because they have more degrees than we do. Maybe because they know a little bit more than we do about the Bible. But the gospel is very simple. We are all wretched sinners. We couldn't save ourselves, so Jesus had to do it. The Apostle Paul, when he was talking to the Corinthian church, he says, look, we speak words which man's wisdom teaches, but which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. In other words, the message that we have been given has been given to us by the Holy Ghost about the finished work of Jesus Christ, which speaks to people's souls. There's going to be years later when the Apostle Paul writes back to the Corinthian church, and he's warning them because some false doctrine has crept in, and he says, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. And this phrasing is the same phrasing that Luke uses when he's saying, when Paul's saying to this man, Bar-Jesus Elimaeus, O child of the devil, full of all subtlety, it's the exact same thing. And he's saying, I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom ye have not we have not preached. And if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, you might as well bear with him. For I suppose that I was not a whit behind the very chiefest of the apostles. And then this is what he says, verse 6. And though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, for we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. The Apostle Paul says, yeah, are there times when I say words that make you cringe? Yeah, are there things about me that make you go, but, and I've experienced that. But here, don't be drawn away for the simplicity of Christ. That you are unable, but he is able. That you couldn't, but he can and did. That you wouldn't, but he did. Because look, we couldn't do anything because we didn't have spiritual life. But Christ, according to his plan, gave us spiritual life because he loved us. Why? I have no idea. He just did. Because he's good. Don't let anybody take you away from that message. Don't let anybody influence you away from that message. And our return to him, the thanks that we give God for giving us eternal life, for not giving us the punishment that we so richly are deserving of, is to stay on the right way. To live a life of faith that when we are tried and downcast, that we can pray and say, Lord, let me know you and your way. That when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we'll fear no evil, for we know thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That we know that there is no temptation common to man that Jesus hasn't conquered, and that we can at all times turn to him. We don't have to turn to the bottle. We don't have to sink into depression. We don't have to go into any other lifestyle, any other median. All we have to do is turn to Christ. because he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, because he loved us so much that he laid down his life for us. And so, Bar-Jesus, what was his offense? His offense, number one, was not being the Jew that he was raised to be. His offense, number two, was trying to actively prevent Sergius Paulus. And why would he do that? Because if Sergius Paulus understood the gospel and the finished work of Jesus Christ, he would understand that there is no mediator between God and man except Jesus Christ, that he does not need Elymais anymore. He doesn't need the dark arts. He doesn't need the crystals. He doesn't need the Ouija board. He doesn't need to pick up the paper and read the astrology, and he doesn't need the fortune cookie. All he needs at any moment is Jesus Christ, and it hasn't changed in 2,000 years. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what temptations you're struggling with, and I don't know what keeps you up at night, but this is what I do know. That whatever your issue is, your problem is, your struggle is, that if you will turn to Christ, he is faithful. So, how y'all doing? May I present something to you? Every one of us has a Bar-Jesus in our life. They need to be put out. Put out Bar-Jesus this week. Put him out next week. Put him out next year and turn to Christ. If you'd like to turn to him now, we'll give you that chance as we stand to sing hymn number 178.